Will be by Dr. Susan Kirsch. Susan Kirsch is a staff physician at the VA Medical Center in Cleveland, Ohio. She has been an attending physician earlier. She's an internist and has been a residency program associate director as well as the primary care clinic director, and now she is serving as consultant for the VA's PCMH model, that is the transformation to a PCMH model. So without much further ado, I want to invite you.
Thank you. Thank you, and I've got my watch ready. Go. So I actually was here last year and gave an oral presentation and looked at VA nationally in terms of diabetes care and project that I did. I do some implementation research. And there was it was striking to me in my first APHA meeting that so many people were asking me about the VA and the Veterans Health Administration. And I thought about that as a model for when fee-for-service is not a barrier and private sector and payment systems can be somewhat minimized, and that some of these lessons then that were learned last year and the work that we are doing in VA now, I hope that we can share some of that, and it may be applicable to think about how to do something if some of those barriers were eliminated. Is anyone here from the VA? Very nice, so you'll know some of this. And change fatigue. I wanted to comment on that word, change fatigue. If you've been in the VA in the last couple of years and you work within the primary care sector, then I think you definitely have change fatigue. About a year and a half ago, I was asked for some of the evaluation work that I've done in some implementation research to work for central office for part of my time and help to implement the chronic care component of patient-centered medical home, or what we call, and I'll describe the PACT is what we call that now. So I've listed up folks in central office who are have been essential to this policy development and then program and down to the facility level implementation, and my boss is Dr. Gordon Sheckman. Clicking. Oh, the space bar. Okay. Oh, I'll just hit that. And that's what I will do. So I don't have any disclosures. And I should give credit to, in this part of my journey in working for the VA and wanting to work for the VA nationally, and I am finishing up my MPH at Case Western Reserve right now. So again, I wanted to describe some of the national policy initiative that we've undertaken, and that the patient-centered medical home that we call PACT. Interestingly, patients, when we started calling it PCMH or patient-centered medical home, patients thought that meant that we were coming into their homes. So if you know about the VA, you trained in the VA, or you work, have ever worked at a VA, you know that we like our acronyms. So we call it PACT, just to confuse everybody and not let anyone really know what we're doing, which is also a common theme around VA. I wanted to share with you some of our PACT initiatives, and I'll try to use PCMH PACT as the acronym so that you know what I'm referring to. And this is a descriptive a session or a piece for me, mixed methods, mostly some quantitative and what we've found in really broad strokes and in the big picture and what we've done and some of our preliminary findings. And then some lessons learned as they can apply for you. I hope that some of this will translate to inspire or facilitate some of your own work. So the VA, and is for those of you that are not as familiar with the VA, has multiple purposes, and because I think that this is interesting that we are not only a healthcare facility, we are, part of our mission is to conduct research, to employ folks who are somewhat oftentimes unemployable in other venues in private sector, to train healthcare professionals. A very large portion of trainees come to across the board, pharmacy, nursing, and medicine come through, and that's part of our mission, serving homeless veterans, providing federal management situations. Those are all additional missions so that you get a snapshot of what it looks like in VA and how we try to move our programs forward in the context, I think, of all these additional purposes. So in terms of the primary care in the VA, what does that look like? So we are indeed the largest integrated healthcare system in the U.S. We take care of a little bit more than 6 million veterans, and we've had an electronic medical record for the last at least about 11 years. My site's been 11, some sites 12, some sites 10. And we have more than 850 sites of primary care, 152 medical centers, a lot of community-based outpatient clinics delivering care in very rural areas. Interestingly, I think, is that 53% of our patients in primary care are seen in these small primary care community-based outpatient centers that are in the range of hundreds to less than 10,000, somewhere in that range. So we are like multiple small community healthcare centers, and it's, as you can see from the numbers, the main facilities that we always think about are really a minority of where the care is delivered. So how can we try to figure out how to get that care to those veterans? Our veterans are, again, a little bit on a more age, older side. We're obviously starting to see a lot more veterans now. Very large demographic of mental health conditions, and still remains a small demographic of female patients. Patients come to the VA for their health care, usually when they don't have other private health care insurance. So we are really looking at a lower socioeconomic and higher mental health comorbid condition patient population. So all of you, I hope, know all of this. I want to use this slide to point out that it says for the PCMH principles that we have replaced personal physician with personal primary care provider. The VA uses nurse practitioners and physician's assistants as well. And the coordinated care across the healthcare system, we use a ton of team-based care, which I'll demonstrate to you shortly. Enhanced access was one of the first foci, and quality and safety is something I think that you've seen in the last 15 years since Dr. Ken Kaiser was the undersecretary, that this has been performance measures and using quality improvement to obtain high performance metrics has been a priority for our system. So patient is in the center, and there's been a lot of focus on the improved teamwork, a ton of work on teams. The coding in our computerized medical record is there are teams that are assigned. The roles of the teams, as I heard previously, were assigned. And for some sites, there was a lot of work around that, and the roles needed to really be changed to move people to the top of their license. That's still occurring. The coordination of care and focusing on transitions of care has, in the last 6 months, become a very high priority with two-day discharge follow-up and coordination of multiple after hospitalization, even out to 2 weeks, have been some of our metrics. Improving access, I stated, has been a priority with non-face-to-face care, telephone care. I'll describe my healthy vet briefly. Secure text messaging has been prioritized in for our fiscal year 2012, which we're in from October of this year until October of 2012. We have need to have percentage increase across all sites of non-face-to-face care and telephone-based care. So this is, I don't mean to confuse you with this slide, but this slide is really about the healthcare team and the prioritization around the healthcare team. If you look in the center of the slide, it's really one provider of FTE, full-time equivalent is 1,200 patients. And all of us have been then assigned, I only see patients 1 day a week, and then I'm combined with another physician who sees patients four days a week, and the two of us together have one RN care manager, I have one LPN that works with us, and one clerk. And they're teamlets, and that's the terminology that we use, and that has been delegated, and the resources have been allocated for this staff increase to happen in sites where there has not been enough staff. Interestingly, on the top right, there's each facility, parent facility, and the community-based outpatient clinics. I like to promote this, that we have staff dedicated to health promotion, disease prevention. Those are usually nurses, a health behavioral coordinator, which is a health psychologist teaching motivational interviewing and self-management, and a My Healthy Vet coordinator, which is a patient interaction medical record system. other pharmacy, other members include pharmacy and social work, and there have been variability in the designation of those folks with our teams and our teamlets. But this has been a lot of the effort in the last 2 years. So phases, we walked through the different phases. It's been 2 years since October 2009 since this started. Really, the staffing ratios were an early implementation, and now we're moving into education and have been doing education training, innovation and evaluation, and then how are we going to look at this and measure this? So we use the ACP Medical Home Builder to assess where we are at. In the left-hand blue column is where we were at in October 2009, and then in July of 2011, where we were at. This is self-report, this data, but it was sent out to all facilities, and the chiefs of staff at these facilities filled these questionnaires out, and this is a tool that you may be familiar with, so I put that up there in terms of the dimensions and domains of patient-centered medical home. This is how we're doing so far. And staffing ratios, they have, as would hopefully be expected, from October of 2011 until this past August, actually that's October of 2010. Until over the last basically year, we've increased our staffing ratio. Some of this has been moving staff around, but there has been funding to support additional nursing, additional clerical, so that has happened. I'll briefly walk you through this slide, which has been training and education. I've been intimately involved in 6 IHI Breakthrough Series type collaboratives. There are 6 sessions for each of the regions, in 5 regions in the country, doing process improvement work, quality improvement type work like a traditional IHI Breakthrough Series, and as well as content, learning sessions on care coordination, and the teamlets have gone to this. There have then additionally been consult teams and learning centers where the folks that didn't go to the collaboratives, that there is staff and faculty to go to the sites in each region to start to train the additional folks. So I think it's a pretty intense patient-centered, team-based, quality improvement education session over the last, educational component over the last couple of years. So I think that the another really interesting thing that I like to highlight, beside the emphasis that we have folks specifically for a lot of the prevention types of content, but that we have demo labs, demonstration labs, $5 million for each of these sites over 5 years. So VISN 20 is a region that's in the Northwest. VISN 22, Southern California. VISN 23 is Minneapolis area, and 11 is through University of Michigan, and 4 is around Pennsylvania and Philadelphia. So those are demonstration labs where health services researchers within the VA have really applied robust research methods and designs to look at interesting, creative, innovative questions around the demonstration labs and do that in a really rigorous fashion. And then also interestingly, and in Cleveland, we were fortunate enough to get one of these centers. Again, $5 million for each site over 5 years. So that's basically $25 million that has been put toward education and innovation centers to say, let's break down the way that we're training in our site. For example, medical students, residents, and nurse practitioners students, and let's figure out how to do this together, which is, I think, a goal of mine and some interest in what people have heard about through over time and in different venues. Am I at 2 minutes? Okay, that's fine. So what have we done to start to measure what we're doing? Interestingly, like every institution, there are the performance measures and metrics that are HEAS measures and JCO measures, but we have adopted also some tools that are indigenous to the VA, and it's called a PACT Compass. And on it, we have things that we want to prioritize, that we want to see numbers augmented in. For example, shared medical appointments for patients with chronic conditions, doing that with motivational interviewing in groups of patients, maximizing the health promotion and self-management. So access has increased, and phone utilization has substantially increased. And before I get to lessons learned, I wanted to share with you so the findings. Access has significantly increased. I want to make sure that I wanted to emphasize that over the last year. Teams have been really built, and I think that most teamlets are up across the country. The patient-centered part, I'm not sure that I think of that as building blocks, and that we're still working on that piece. I think it's a hierarchical type of process to really implementing this in this kind of a large scale. Yesterday, I met with some of my colleagues from central office, and so when you think about numbers and value-based care, we added 6% of our staff. Increase, and so that's increased revenue, but it also then we saw an increase in about 13% over the last year in productivity. So we were able to increase our productivity, I think, by adding a little bit of staff and putting people into a lot of different teams and trying to encourage non-face-to-face care and different types and different kinds of care, which I think and hopefully will be a model for other sites and as we move forward in the ensuing years. So what are the main lessons that we learned? I'm painting a picture like things were pretty homogeneous and that across the whole country, people moved at the same rate. That did not happen. It really happens, and it continues to happen really variably. And we know that, and there are processes in place for some of the sites that are not to support the sites that are not moving as quickly. Change happens slowly. It's difficult. We've really emphasized things like high-risk populations, prevention, which I like to say to this group, and we're working on patient-centered processes and moving forward in the next couple of years, how we're going to interact differently with specialists and how they can help support patient-centeredness in this model of care. So thank you. Thank you.